And here we are. And welcome, man. Welcome. Let me put my headphones on. Yo, welcome back to another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. Yo, what's up, everybody that is tuned in? All of you guys. We've got a lot of people in here, man. So I want to wish everybody a happy Labor Day today. Hopefully you got the rest that you needed, the rest that you wanted. And hopefully this podcast is sounding clear. I'm trying to upgrade my sound. I'm trying to get all this quality right. As you saw, I just did a little intro and shit. Because guess what? I'm getting this shit out of the mud, right? So, like, my whole stance as a comedian now has been to be 100% independent and really understand the business of the game. I've been doing this shit long enough. Shout out to everybody that a lot of big comedians have asked me to come on the road with them, to open for them. And I've declined, all right? And the reason I've declined is because I believe in me. I have the faith, and I just want to continuously grind and just really pull it out of the mud. Like, that's what I'm about. This is not about any money. This is just about a personal journey that I'm on. And I want to make sure everything is good. Also, while I'm on here, I see guys in the comments right now. How does this sound? Is my sound crisp? Or is there trouble? Because I put some software on here that should give me great sound. Shout out to Joseph Chunka out in Zambia. But how is the sound, guys, before I go any deeper? Please update me on how I'm sounding. Hello, I see y'all watching. Let me know. Tommy, good. How do I sound? Is the sound good? Do you hear anything in the background? Do you hear anything popping? Do you hear any? Okay, just a little bit of static, but do you hear any whirring noises, any wind? Do you hear anything like that? That's what I want to know. Because you guys are helping me. Like, really, everybody that tunes in on this show, we're all in this together. We're all on this journey together, and I want to thank each and every one of you. So I'm good to go. I'm popping on certain words. I'm going to have to give me a new pop filter. But this is where we're at right now. Thank you, Patricia, for tuning in. So today, Diddy, you know, I'm just going to jump right into it. But well, before I jump into it, let me start off by saying I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. So please come out, get those tickets. Let me run my banner across here real quick. So I'm going to be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. As you can see, it's scrolling right at the bottom of my screen right now. Y'all get those tickets. Those tickets are moving. We are approximately, what are we, like 23, 24 days out. It was the 29th, so I got about 25 days, September 29th and 30th. Two shows on the 29th, two shows on the 30th. I'm going to be there. So to everybody that had been asking me, yo, LeVar, when you could, hey, man, when you come back to Atlanta, man, I ain't there to see you. You know, I do pop up and rehearse, but this is a show. This is a show that I'm doing myself. I'm promoting myself. This is my ticket. This is me on the marquee. And I hope all of you guys will show up and we can fellowship and have fun, because my comedy shows aren't a regular comedy show. They're an experience, and I'm able to talk my shit. Okay, I talk the talk. I'm not dancing. I don't put a wig on. I don't like do a lot of bullshit. It's just straight comedy. Me on stage for 1 hour, and then you're gonna have the show will be about 90 minutes. That's an hour and a half. So you know you have a host, opening act, and then I come on to deliver the goods. So. Shout out, yo, everybody, September 29th, 30th. So let's just get into it. Today, Diddy gave back publishing to his artists. Let me try something else, too. I'm about to make this shit on some radio shit. Maybe we could do some smooth jams or something like that. But I'm going to play a little background music. Y'all let me know how this sounds.
Oh no, I don't like that. How does it sound? I'm just gonna play this shit in the background.
How that sound, y'all? Can I play background music, or is that shit too radio-ish? Like, it's like, hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to 107.9 Hot Jams. All right, fuck it. All right, you said it. I'm gonna take the sound off. I'm gonna stop the sound.
Fuck, I stopped the sound.
All right, there we go. So no background. Y'all don't want background sound. I just thought that might have made a. I thought that would have done something, but I guess not. So let's just jump right into it. So Diddy gave his artist back his publishing. Shout out to Diddy for whatever that means, but let's just do a breakdown of what it means. So typically when artists produce a song, the song ownership of that song comes in two different means. It comes in masters and it comes in publishing. So let's just break down what publishing and masters mean. So when you own your masters, those masters are the actual recording of the music. It is that period of time you recorded the music, those tracks, just the music itself. So whatever the audience hears that is streaming, that is the royalties that you collect off of the masters. Now the publishing is your idea for the song. Your publishing are the chords, the lyrics, the composition of the music comes in the form of publishing. Now, often when artists sign record deals, their masters will go to the record label, and most artists are able to do a deal with their publishing with other publishing companies. So typically, it wasn't likely for record companies to even have the artist publishing in the first place. And now Diddy, through his PR team and people being on his ass, has finally decided to give those 90s artists their publishing back. And what a great time to give it. What a great time to get that publishing back when you know the publishing is fucking worthless. Nobody's going to be paying any of those artists for those 90s songs with those 90s references. People will still listen to the original recording, which comes in the form of the masters. Now, I don't know how much money they will get when the master recording is played. You know, they might get some publishing from that. I don't know, because I am not a music guy. I'm a nerd. I'm a husband, a father, a nerd, okay? And a black man, not a nigga, but a black man. So I don't know. This was a great time. I mean, you know, the media has spun this story as if Puff or Diddy is some type of saint, or he's Santa Claus or some shit. But most of his major artists that were on Bad Boy, being that in Biggie, is dead. Black Rob is dead. Nobody plays Shine. Nobody's listening to any of this shit. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll be cool for Little Kim. I don't know. But nah, it give them their masters back too. I mean, he was allegedly getting some big deal that he turned down for $1 billion, which I believe is a lie as well. And he denied that and said, I want to get, yo, take that. I want to give everybody their masters back. And he did a Diddy Bop, and he knows that shit is worthless. Ain't nobody listening to that shit no more. Who wants to really license a old ass, I don't know, a old ass Black Rob or Mace song in 2023? Like, this is not timeless music here. Like, what? And then understand the difference between, like I say, the difference between the publishing and the masters. A prime example would be Dolly Parton. So Dolly Parton wrote the song, I believe, I Will Always Love You. And that song was sung by Whitney Houston. So when Whitney sang the cover of that song for Dolly Parton, she had to call Dolly Parton, because Dolly Parton wrote those words. She had to pay Dolly Parton because Dolly Parton owns the publishing for that song. And she also owns the masters of when she actually sang the song, which is her actual voice. So Whitney had to pay for the publishing for that song. But when she recorded the song, I Will Always Love You, she retained the right to the masters, or her record company retained the right to the masters for that song. So that's a breakdown of how that shit works. Puff, Diddy really let the well run dry. He made sure with no mayonnaise left in the jar, and he gave those artists their publishing back. So shout out to them. Even though that shit is probably worthless, it's okay. Hopefully, you know, you get your masters. Hopefully he'll do that. I don't know. Okay. So moving right along, they're trying to push us back in the mask mandate. It's coming. They're talking about it. Man, this is always such a dicey topic, especially when I'm streaming this across these platforms. You know, to even talk about the vaccine is just, you know, they're against it. Now, I am vaccinated, double shot and boosted. I got it because I'm a healthcare worker. I studied a lot of sciences. I went to pharmacy school. Based off of what I know now, I don't know. Okay, I got this shit. Me and my whole family protected. But I don't know if I'm going to grow a tail in 5 years. I don't fucking know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Do I believe there should be another big mandate? Should we stop the economy for some type? No, I don't. And I'm starting to think, and you know, I don't like to get into the conspiracy theory shit. I've tried to really, really stay away from it. But at this point, this is looking very conspiracy-ish. Okay. You know, I'm at a loss for it, and hopefully this will not block me or stop my monetization, but I don't know. That's what I'm going to say. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I'm not too sure the rest of the population will be willing to give up their freedoms and go through this shit again. I don't think they're going to be able to lock us all away anymore. I'm just not seeing it. You would have to, I mean, the only way that shit would work, like, people would have to really see a lot of people very close to them just dropping dead immediately. This whole thing has been, I don't know. I don't know, man. These drug companies, the vaccine, I don't know. A lot of science was thrown by the wayside. Even when I would bring up the fact, I had did episode of the last episode I did of the 85 South show. Shout out to Lowe's Bean Fly. We're getting so much money over there. I did a whole episode on that where I explained the vaccine. I explained getting an infection. I also explained immunity, herd immunity, and how our immune systems literally help us. You know what I'm saying? Like, how your immune system forms antibodies to foreign substances, and those antibodies come to sequester those foreign substances, and they form around those substances, and they help the body to expel them. All conventional wisdom was thrown out during that time. And I don't know, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult to put 330 million people in masks again. I think you're going to get a real outpour. And even when that shit first started, I looked at like a lot of the old white men. What do you mean I need to wear a mask? I'm not putting this shit on anymore. And I was like, man, just put on your fucking mask and quit crying. But now I'm starting to feel like those crazy white men who I thought were crazy. Because now I think I would have a feeling of my freedoms being impinged upon. And that's just not good. So I don't know. I'm going to leave that shit there because I don't really want to get too deep into that and cause an uproar or chaos. So I just keep it there until I get bigger and we can move this shit over to Rumble and I don't have to be on Facebook and I can give y'all the real, real. I don't have to walk because you know, Facebook, a lot of these platforms, like I'm walking on eggshells. Anything you say that's wrong, that's not for them, that they don't deem as appropriate, your ass is blocked, demonetized. They just kick you off of the site. And this is the only way to get through to you guys. So that is that. Like, it is wild. Even when you think about a lot of these platforms who have billions and billions of people on these platforms, and these platforms are controlled by 1,000 people. Like, I think Facebook has, okay, Facebook got about 65,000 employees. Okay, there are about 2 billion or 3 billion active users on this platform a day. I don't know how you justify 65,000 employees to serve billions of people. You're not even cracking the, like 1 million is 1,000th of a billion, and you got 65,000, which is an unheard of ratio. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a worker. I'm not really big. I'm not, this shit is not in my pay grade for me to come with what I need to come with. So I'm just gonna move right along. I saw a woman had been hit in the face with a brick for trying to, I don't know, some dude tried to holler at her, and she got hit in the face with a brick. It was very unfortunate. There was an outcry because I believe there were men around, and no men did anything. I want to say this. I do not feel like whoever did that to that young lady, they need to face severe consequences. I do not believe on putting my hands on any type of female or hurting a female. But there was a lot to be said about the men who stood around. Now, I'm going to say this. For those guys that stood around, I'm not saying they necessarily cowards or anything like that. But a lot of men who want to intervene when it comes to domestic disputes, a lot of them don't, because there have been a lot of instances of where a man has intervened in a domestic dispute to protect that woman. And sometimes the woman and the aggressor will turn on the man, and there have been men killed over this. So, you know, I'm not justifying that as a horrific thing to do to a female, but I'm just saying to those who talked about those men and said those men were crazy and they don't love women, that's not true. It's just a lot of times, you know, when somebody sees a domestic dispute, it's just like, dude, what do we do? What do I do? Do I fight? What am I doing here? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know if the woman is going to start jumping your ass with the man, and then they go off in love again, and you just got into some middle of some shit that you shouldn't have been in the first place. So that's where we're at right now as a society. And had a man, let's just say, you know, she was assaulted, and let's just say some guy, I mean, depending on what city this happened in, you know, specifically if it's like in New York or California, some guy intervened, kicks this guy's ass. He's a jujitsu expert or some type of martial MMA fighter. And he hits the guy to protect this woman. The guy goes down and dies. Well, they're going to take that guy in, and they're probably going to prosecute him for manslaughter. It won't be just murder flat out, but it'll be manslaughter. And it's a lot of shit to go through. So it's not that I'm knocking. I'm not trying to justify those actions, but I understand those men who have wives to go home to and children. And even my wife had brought up that point, and I was just like, babe, you know, you just don't know. You out there in the streets. Your job is to protect your family and yourself first and foremost, and you just don't know. People get robbed with that shit. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, a woman look like she in duress and it's a robbery. You know, yeah, first motherfucker to come up, we gonna rob them together. I mean, these things happen. This is where we are in society right now. This is what's happening. Chivalry is dying due to laws and people getting sued and going to jail. It's just what it is. It's what it is. They even trying to introduce a law right now, which is very interesting. I was listening to Judge Joe Brown, and they're trying to introduce a seduction law of where a man can be charged with seducing a woman and getting her to the bedroom. Now, I don't know. Like, if you have a seduction law, I don't even know at that point, if that law goes into effect, how do we as men and women even approach each other at that point? Because the man, you meet a woman, you want to impress her, you want to take out the dinner, you want to kick it with her, you know what I'm saying? You want to tell some jokes, do a little tap dancing, because you want to get her in the bedroom. So what do? With the seduction law, what do you say?
Am I seducing you right now?
I mean, how do you even get into the mood? I just think we're really pushing a society, I guess, just without love, without children, without families. I think this is where we're going, and nobody gives a fuck. And it's going to get pushed over the cliff to where we're just not reproducing and we all just old as shit and we hoping for some young person to help us. This is where we're going now. And as a father with only one child that is a boy, I don't know. I got a boy, right? He might fall in love with some crazy woman or what, and then I'm out. I'm ass out, me and my wife. Like, this is what happens when you just have a boy. We need to roll the dice for a daughter. Like, I'm really contemplating that and considering that. So, very, very interesting. Also, this was an interesting story. I'm going to pull this up on my screen here. Hopefully, yo, how is this podcast going today? I see everybody in here. Shout out to everybody on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Whose fault is it? Did you say that? I don't know whose fault it is. I mean, everybody is suing this shit. Men are scared to talk to women. You have a big population of guys that are, men are virgins now, like damn near 30. Like, this shit is becoming the norm. Ain't nobody fucking. And it's so funny. What's so ironic is you got all these young girls who are sexually provocative, you know what I mean? Like, with these young rappers and shit, my pussy pink, booty hole brown, all that shit. And a lot of them, a lot of these females that are selling this whore rap, they ain't no different from the fake gangster rappers. A lot of them don't even fuck. They just telling you they do, just for the attention and the money. So I don't know where we're headed as a society. I have no idea. I often look at my son and I just want to do the best I can with him and, you know, just give him the best guidance, man. But I'm a little bit nervous for the world that he's growing up in. I'll be honest with you, because it's fucking weird, man. We in a weird place, y'all. We in a weird place. So I want to talk about this story here. Let me make this a little bit bigger for you guys. As you can see, a sperm donor who fathered 96 children, he went on a Canadian road trip to connect with some of his kids, which was a very interesting story. At 32, Dylan Stone Miller quit his job as software engineer, left Atlanta. Shout out to him, he's in Atlanta. And headed north to Canada, one goal in mind, to meet as many of his 96 biological children as possible. So far, he's met 25 of them. The journey started on social media. Message came from Alicia Bowles, two mothers to a toddler who is one of Stone Miller's biological children. And you would think that they would have shit in line so that these kids cannot contact you. You know, you go nut in the cup. and you need money as a college student or something, and now with this digital world, they find you. The message arrived a few months after Stone Miller is separated from his wife. Soon after, he asked Bowles if he could join a Facebook group named after his sperm bank ID. According to the Wall Street Journal, Bowles was able to track down Stone Miller on social media through details gleaned for his donor file. When he told the group he was interested in meeting his biological children, most of whom are American, 20 parents responded. He has visited with Bowles, who lives in Edmonton, with two daughters who are both his biological children. On two occasions, one of those visits, the longest of his road trip, stretched over 9 days. Both of the children, Bowles and partner Stone Miller, trying to navigate the relationship. Before meeting with Bowles and family, Stone Miller also visited biological children in Atlanta and Connecticut before heading as far west as Vancouver. So he has nutted literally all over the world and produced these children. He first began to donate sperm while he was a college student, receiving $100 a visit from the sperm bank Zytex. His motivation initially was to pay his lawyer after he was charged with underage drinking, but he kept at it for 6 years. While some countries restrict the number of children per donor, the U.S. has no national limit. American Society for Reproductive Medicine offers its own guidelines, suggesting a limit of 25 children per donor in a population of 800,000. So if you're in a population of 20 million, how many kids can you have? I guess you need to divide, like 1.6 million. You're a population of 1.6 million, you could have 50 children in that population. A population of 2.4 million, you could have 75 children, so on and so on. In Canada, the rules are similar. Maximum 25 offspring per population of 800,000 can be born from a single donor, though there are no restrictions on the number of families created. Wow. So this guy has all these kids, and I guess he's just going to visit them. I mean, it's very interesting. It's also like a weird science experiment because, you know, with every child, you probably see certain habits, traits. You see your eyes in those children, and this is what's going on now. You know, I might have a couple out there because I went to a bank a couple times and I had to donate. I made about $300. I did it a few times. I needed the money. Okay. So if you're my child, don't contact me. I did what I had to do, and I'm not starting a site as my career grows. I don't owe you anything. Okay. So this is where we're at. Okay. Yes. End of time. Black Fisherman says the end of times. LOL. So moving right along. Oprah and The Rock, they have started a campaign. Oprah and The Rock have started a campaign because for the people in Maui, I don't know if y'all understand, in Maui they had a big fire in Lahaina, and now Oprah and The Rock have launched a recovery fund. Isn't that something? Two of the richest people in entertainment, Oprah being a billionaire and The Rock being close to a billionaire, were crying because they need money to help these people. Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson have launched a recovery fund for people who lost housing in Maui wildfires. A pair announced in a video on Instagram. Two-star donated $10 million to get the campaign started and inviting the public to help in the effort. They created the People's Fund of Maui that will put money directly in the hands of the people who we need right now. Now, with this whole Maui fire, let me bring this up because I like to bring that up. So with this whole Maui fire, man, I'm going to keep it a beam with y'all. There we go. I'm going to keep it a beam with y'all. I was looking at, and I hate to be any type of conspiracy theorist. So all of this is alleged. I'm not saying this is real or true, none of this shit. But I was reading something where the homes that caught on fire, the homes that survived had a blue roof. About a week before this shit happened, people were getting their roofs painted blue, and every house that was not painted blue somehow went up in flames. And I don't know. And now they had this shit zoned. Of course, this is in Maui. So who knows? I don't know. Could the Hilton and Marriott be involved in this somehow? Could it be that the people didn't want to move? Are we like living a fucking, is this Avatar, the movie, this happening right now? I don't know. I'm just talking shit. I'm a comedian and I'm just being silly. But I don't know. Based off the reports I got, this is what happened. As a matter of fact, let me go to that. Blue Roofs in Maui. Maui. Blue Roof. It's very weird, to say the least. Okay, they said this is a conspiracy theory. Blue Roofs in Hawaii do not prove, okay, that this started a wildfire. I don't know. I don't know, man. Well, maybe they did. Maybe this is bullshit. It's all conspiracy. And so I don't want to get too deep into conspiracy theories, but that just happens to be what happened. Also, Burning Man, for those of you who don't know what Burning Man is a celebration where super rich and elitist people go because they're so rich and bored and they have so much fucking money. They go to live in the desert and they pay like a lot of fucking money just to set up a camp in the desert in Nevada. Very, very expensive to go to this. I have a rich friend that introduced me to this. I've never been, but he's rich and he took his lady to it or whatever. But they ended up getting stuck because it ended up raining out in Vegas, and it never rains in the desert of Vegas, but they ended up raining there and the fucking mudslide happened and all these people just ended up getting stuck. It was ridiculous. It was a washout. Was this the saddest Burning Man ever? Washout Festival prepares to set fire to the man tonight as mass exodus begins with 64,000 rebels set to hit the road after being trapped in the mud for 2 days. They were all trapped. All these rich folks were trapped in the mud. Burning Man, just the cost of this shit is insane, man. To get a tent or to pull your trailer up close to where you can be is just, it's crazy. It is crazy. Let me see. I don't know who that is, my brother calling. Let me see. Burning Man. Burning Man ticket. Let's see how much that costs. This shit is high as shit. Let's see how much the Burning Man tickets are. Lord have mercy. I don't know. Ticket. This is the main sale. All right, I guess it ain't. Approximately 15,000 tickets, $575 per ticket. 5,000 vehicle passes at $150 a piece. So I guess, I mean, they say this shit is high because there's other fees and shit they charge. It's crazy. But all these people ended up getting stuck out there. They was in the mud. They were trapped. My brother told me Chris Rock was out there. They had to get him back. It was just all fucked up. So prayers up to all the rich who went down to Burning Man to be weird. You know, people get high off the mushrooms and they just walk around and it looks like Mad Max. Have you seen the movie Mad Max? Because rich people get bored. They have so much money. And you know, they're able to do, you know, this guy's diving in the mud. You know, this is what it looked like. They just out there stuck in the mud because there are no roads or anything out there. So, yeah, that's what happened. Unfortunate for these people. Prayers up to them. And I think we have now I think we done come to the end of the show. Let me bring my... All right. So this was pretty good, man. There's no vendors at Burning Man. Shit, it's somebody doing something over there. Shout out to A.J. The Truth, my favorite. I appreciate it. I'm glad you like my comedy, brother. Ain't no cash used, but your ass gonna pay. You gotta get a camper. Most of them people are rich. They get a big ass camp or something. They pull up and they just walk out there, man. And then they got tents and cabanas and shit. That shit be high, man. 570. Think about this, Libby. Libby Davidson, I see you. $575 per ticket, okay? That is to be outdoors in the desert, baby. Ain't shit out there. They said for you to pull up, they put a little cheap-ass fence up. You come in that gate, this $575, that's a lot of money. I don't know how rich you is everybody rich? Is everybody watching me rich? But if you guys are, you could definitely come to Atlanta Comedy Theater and get those tickets. September 29th to the 30th, where I'm going to be. What's up, Tisha? I see you. Shout out to Tisha, man. Y'all see, I've been trying to really hook up the studio and get all this together. Hopefully my sound quality and everything is great. So, guess we can end this. You guys want to get some last words? Would any of you like to call in and voice your opinion? Y'all want to do some call? Maybe we can take some call-ins. Let's do some call-ins. All right, I'm gonna do some call-ins, guys. I'm gonna let you guys call me. Y'all can call me right now at that number 678-310-7139. Give me a call, okay, and we can get it popping. So call me 678-310-7139. Let me know your feelings on life. Let me know your feelings on the show. Hopefully the number 678-310-7139. I'm going to give y'all a chance to call in before I check out. I'm going to give it till about 10:25 p.m. It's 10:25 p.m. Eastern, my time. So I'll give y'all a little bit of time and we can make this happen. All right? 678-310-7139. All right? Y'all can do this. Make sure. Hopefully I didn't. Okay. So I'm gonna wait. And if nobody calls, then we're going to move on. I'm looking at, I got a lot of block numbers in my phone. That's who we really need to take our hats off to. We really need to tip our hats to those. Let's tip our hats to the people that invented blocking, because I love to block. I block the shit out of people. And I have so much joy in that. A lot of people say, oh, block nobody. Well, you're tough. I'm emotional. We're different. I don't mind blocking. I actually love it because when you block somebody, it's almost a way of, you know, just getting them out of your life without harming them. You're just able to pop. You know what I'm saying? I really wish that you could block people in like person. Just some way you block them and then they don't see you. You don't come, you know, I really wish that existed. But 678-310-7139. I'm going to take some calls. Y'all hit me up. Y'all can call me. Call my ass. I be telling y'all to call me in the videos. Now you can do it right now. 678-310-7139. I'm on the ones and twos here. Anybody? Let me see something. So y'all not gonna call. Is this what we're doing? Okay. Well, I guess I'm gonna end this show. Let me see. Y'all can't hear me? Can you hear me now? Michelle? Michelle said she couldn't hear me. Michelle, can you hear me now? Or do I sound far away? Michelle, can you hear me? Michelle, can you hear? Can you hear? Can you hear talk? I am talking, Michelle. Please, let me know you can hear. Let me know you can hear, Michelle. What's up, Travis? All right. Nobody wants to call in. So we're going to end this show, man. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming out. And then I'm going to play my little, I'm about to play my little thing I got. How y'all like this thing I put on here, man? Y'all like my little thing? Let me show y'all this. And that is me. Did y'all like that? Oh, what the hell is this? Hello? Yeah, who this?
So I just stopped on bank. They gave me your number for the comedy show.
Oh, wait. Hold on, bro. Cause give me like 2 minutes because I'm wrapping up my podcast. I thought you was calling. I do call ins. Give me like 2 minutes. I'm gonna call you right back, bro. All right, no doubt. That was for a comedy show, guys. Well, this has been another great episode. I love this. Everything's coming along. I put a noise cancel software on this thing, so it is looking good. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Hopefully that sound quality is good. All right, let me hide that from Michelle. Well, guys, we can wrap this up now. So I want to thank you all. Did you guys like that little intro I did? Yo, what about the intro? Why you said speaker, Libby? What about that little intro? Did y'all like the intro? Hello? Y'all tripping. Y'all better answer me. We in this together. Did y'all like the intro? Let me see. Bet. Key, you like the intro. Cool. All right, guys. Well, this has been another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in. I don't care. You want to call in, Libby? What's up, Sandra Berry? It was you. What are you talking about, Antoine, what are you talking about? Do y'all want to call in? Because we can call in and get this popping now. Well, then they want to like to call in again before I leave. Y'all better start calling in now because when this shit get hot, I'm like, nah. Okay. Well, that was it. All right. We're going to end this podcast, man. This has been another episode of our Walker Daily Show podcast. Shout out to my lamp in the back. Hopefully, we're going to upgrade all this shit. We're going to get a little fresher. Shout out to Sandra Berry for tuning in. Sandra, we went over several topics tonight of Diddy giving his artists their publishing back, the new mask mandates being enforced, the woman that was hit in the face with the brick, a sperm donor of 96 children, Oprah and The Rock starting a fund for Maui, and the Burning Man fiasco, Sandra. We covered a lot. We covered a lot. We've been on here for 46 minutes, so. But I'm not gonna be long-winded. I'm going to get out of here, guys. I love you all. Thank you for everything. And listen, get those damn tickets. Y'all bring y'all ass out there. Bring y'all ass out to the Atlanta Comedy Theater. That ain't much for your brain to take, Sandra. Look, y'all come out to the Atlanta Comedy Theater, man. No, that's Baltimore. Y'all come out to the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to 30th. Check your boy out, man. Y'all got to pull up on me, man. Come see this live show. Let's get these jokes, man. All right? And we out of here. Thank you guys again. Good night.